So I woke up this morning thinking about Terry Tempest Williams, who, if you don't know her, she's done some incredible work in the world, a Mormon woman from Utah. And she says that finding beauty in a broken world is creating beauty in the world you find. Finding beauty in a broken world is creating beauty in the world you find. It's not about it being there. It's about us discovering, bringing forth, just as you all have. So I'm delighted to be back, delighted to have a chance to see some of you again, hold some conversations, this afternoon's workshop and so forth. But I want to start with a trip I had to South Africa a few years ago with my younger daughter, Brianne, who's 34 now. She's in her late 20s at the time. And ostensibly, we were going to go swim with great white sharks. Her business is called Boss Lady Enterprises. She's a badass young woman, and she's very identified with her badassery, as I say. And you know, interestingly enough, what was remarkable, the beauty wasn't where we expected it. We got to walk amongst a penguin colony, and all the badassery just fell away, and she was like a little kid again. It was like the most beautiful moment, by which I will, as you can see from my affect, I will treasure forever. It was a moment when I remembered who she is. It was really, really beautiful. But while we were there, we went out to Robben Island. If you don't know Robben Island, that's where Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for many years. If you don't know Nelson Mandela's story, 27 years imprisoned. He was an activist against South African apartheid. He did lots of dastardly things, as revolutionaries tend to do. What was amazing was standing in that 8 by 8 foot cell, wondering how for 27 years he broke rocks, and wondering what happened on his insides. Because what Mandela is known for, or Mandiba, as his people love to affectionately refer to him, what he was known for was the transformation in the world we were just talking about. Something came through him as a result of that hardship. It broke him wide open. One of the best leaders we've seen in our contemporary world, because he was able to literally forgive his oppressors. He was able to speak to unity in a country that was deeply divided. Regrettably, some of that could not hold. If you stay current with news in Africa, you would know that. But nonetheless, he did remarkable things because the work he did out there wasn't out there. It was in there. Something happened during his 27 years in that small cell breaking rocks day after day after day after day. And I spent a very long time contemplating that, wondering. Which is a perfect setup for talking about how we forgive, or perhaps more appropriately, how we release. Or maybe even more appropriately, how releasing finds us, because I'm not sure that we do the releasing, to be really honest. Like, it's a spiritual principle, not something I have figured out how to do, but I know what happens. Now, Jesus, who we talk about a lot in Unity, had lots to say about this, like forgiving 70 times 7, like leaving your grievances out there, getting them resolved so that when you come to this altar, this space, this morning service, you leave it behind. And that's challenging. Because he also told us it doesn't happen with your neighbor, it happens with your enemy. Now, if you're like me, your visceral reaction is, now let's don't get too carried away with this idea. Because we all know certain presidents, certain people in the world, certain terrorists, certain pedophiles, certain murderers, serial killers, go down the long, long list, Hitler's, all that. It's like, well, yeah, okay, but not them. Not them. Not them. Forgiveness won't apply there because they are too awful, too heinous. But that's exactly where we've been pointed to. It profiteth you nothing to love your neighbor. All the work must be done with your enemy. Ugh, right? I was like, no, I don't go there. You see, when we bear wounds, which is what happens, it's the last place in the world our psyche wants to go. And yet, I will quote the great folk singer Arlo Guthrie, who said, you can't have a light without a dark to stick it in. Got to be a dark. And Jung, Carl Jung, would say, you're going to have to do that dark work because you can't get the light in without doing the dark work. There's no place for the light. Jesus said it also when he said, you can't get new wine into an old wineskin. Oh, you mean I can't just affirm my way into beauty and glory? And the answer is no, probably not. Probably not. Because there's darkness inside of us. There's a shadow self. There's the wounded part of us that has been injured. I was talking with someone between the services and talking about her child and all the ways that she ended up wounded as an adult. And she asked, can't I act my way well out of that? And we call that spiritual bypassing. We don't go where the healing has to be done because it's too tender, too fragile, too wounded, too held on to. And so I talk a lot about Velcro. See, the mistake with forgiving is we get on our high horse because I'm going to forgive you, you lousy, rotten, dirty, right? Can you hear it? You're a bad person, and I'm going to let you off my hook because I am a spiritual person. I'm just that's my voice in my head. I don't know about y'all. Well, you see, Velcro is such a perfect metaphor because of the way Velcro works. You see, we're stuck to that stuff. We're stuck to it. And all that effort focused on forgiving their deeds neglects how we're hooked, how we're bound, how we're damaged and held, how self-forgiveness is needed. That's why so many of us who try to do forgiveness work never actually really get it done. We still carry the unfinished business with us because we don't want to do the dark work. It doesn't feel as pleasant. It's ugly. It's dirty. It's transaction after transaction. And we don't want to do that. It's not pleasant. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. And your ego is going to say, no, you don't have to do that. You can come in here and sing beautiful songs and that'll be good enough. Not in my experience, and I do a lot of this work with some pretty difficult spaces. So I'd actually like to share one of those with you. I'm going to call my example Maria, which tells you a little bit about her heritage, just simply by the inflection in the rolled R. It's not her real name. She came to me because she had a husband who had cheated on her multiple times. Now, if you're like every other person, you just judged that. You just judge that. He cheated on her. It's true, he did. No question about it. Multiple times. Absolutely, positively, that is true. But you see, judgment about them doesn't solve my problem. It didn't solve her problem. She was a spiritual woman. She'd done a whole lot of good work. A whole lot of good work. And she was still stuck because she could not trust this guy. She actually got to a point with a lot of work where she said, I can forgive him, but I can't trust him. Okay, let's do that work. Let's take the focus off of him and his behavior. Let's talk about why you can't trust him. And we did some deep work. Well, it turns out that she has what some of you would call a limiting belief about whether or not she is worthy of a man she can trust. All the way back to Daddy, a long line of men in her life. A long line of men in her life, currently encapsulated in one who cheated on her. And she said with tears in her eyes, how can I ever trust him again? Can you feel it? There it is. It's not about him. It's about her inability to trust. And it's about her limiting belief that says she doesn't deserve a trustworthy person. That's the work we did. The surprise was that the solution was she divorced him. I know, you didn't see it coming, neither did I. I thought we were going to create harmony, right? Healing work, we saved the marriage, look at me, I'm such a great practitioner. That's my ego speaking, that's what I do. I got to work on that all the time, there's a lot of forgiving required of me. Because in order to break the limiting belief, she could no longer do business with untrustworthy people. There was the problem. She had a limiting belief that required her to involve herself with untrustworthy people and then beat herself about why she wasn't valuable enough to have a trustworthy person. Then she had to do the deep work of healing that. A lot of wounds, a lot of history, a lot of therapeutic intervention. Well, about 7 years ago, I performed her wedding ceremony. I went online and got the, you can do that. I have an online ministerial certificate. I performed her ceremony. She's married 7 years now, and what do you imagine has happened? What? He's trustworthy. She healed her, God, I'm a cry. She healed her side and was able then to find a trustworthy guy she is worthy of and he is worthy of her. And they've had to do some hard work. But it's healed. And it looks like it's going to last because it looks like they can finally do the deal. This is done with her. Not because it was out there. It was self-forgiveness, self-releasing, self-healing that was needed. Because limiting beliefs don't permit us to find something new in the world because it's not in the world, it's in us. It's Velcro. We are stuck to ourselves everywhere we go. So that the ultimate work of forgiving or releasing is inside us, not out there. You'll have to do that work with them. You must necessarily do that work with yourself because the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, if you really go where you need to go with that, you should hopefully be thinking about some important work that needs doing with some of those people out there, but it's really about the work in here. And if you're really serious with yourself, if you're really listening to yourself, somewhere inside you, there's a little voice that says, I don't know. Let's don't get carried away. I might have to do some work I don't want to do. I might have to touch some spots I don't want to touch. I might have to deal with some things within me that are kind of ugly because I'm not who I make myself out to be because I'm covered up. If you follow Brené Brown, she does a lot of vulnerability work about breaking that stuff open. The Buddhists would call it breaking the heart open. And yes, it is as unpleasant for a lot of us as it sounds. But it's a breaking open, not just a breaking. It's a making whole, not just affirming the brokenness. And then the most remarkable thing happens, coming back to Terry Tempest Williams. Then we can actually find beauty in the world. Not because the beauty was ever absent, but because within us, we couldn't find it. So it turns out that all forgiveness work is actually releasing work, and ultimately it all comes down to work that has to be done right in here, because if the kingdom of God is within us, then the only thing preventing it from manifesting in our lives is likewise within us. We are the creators of our own reality. Yep, it's on me. It's on me. I'd like you to close your eyes. Get settled. Uncross anything that's crossing because we like to cross stuff to energetically defend ourselves. I should like you to settle in with your first couple breaths. Just feel your sits bones, as they call them, really sinking into that chair. Get just as comfortable as you can. And when you're ready, I'd like you to gently nudge yourself by remembering an unhealed place in your life. A person, a circumstance, some repeat pattern. Just hold it very gently in your thoughts. An outer manifestation of an inner unhealedness. And then I want you to use your breath to go look for that stuckness in your body as a feeling. See if you can find it. If your thoughts stir up, thank them for sharing, let them pass. Come back to the feeling in the body where you are stuck with something. Notice how it feels. Is it tight, tense, ragged, sharp, achy, throbbing? Breathe into it. Notice what happens to it when you breathe into it. Does it soften or intensify? Does it move? See what the breath and your awareness does to that yet broken part within you. Breathe with it. If you can't find it, breathe into your diaphragm. Notice what happens with awareness and breath. And then if you can, see if you can lift yourself up from it with your breath. Imagine the breath pulling you away, releasing that part which is held. Go to a place that may be warm, whole, light-filled. See if you can visualize the releasing. Deep breath. Breathe into your heart. Let go. And when you're ready, a deep breath. Wiggle your toes so you can come back here. Stephen Levine, the great healer who passed last year, said that the purpose of this work we do is not to find the place within us that is uninjured, but the place that is uninjurable. The wholeness that was never lost could not be compromised, but we have become blocked off from. And you can't get there by imagining figures of light. You have to go into the dark space and let the light heal it. Breathe. And don't let go of that